Welcome to the 4Jack Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Season 6 of the 4Jack Podcast. This episode is powered by our good friends over at Galvin Green. Galvin Green is the number one technical golf apparel brand preferred on every professional tour. They're famous for designing high-tech, elevated golf apparel for every golfer, male or female, to feel invincible under all conditions. Now that we are well on our way into fall ball weather here in Canada and the northern parts of the United States, you should definitely think about perusing galvingreen.com to get your apparel game dialed in for the fall season. A massive thank you to our community that continues to support and share in our success throughout Season 6. You can expect more untold stories, more amazing contests, more amazing guests, and a deeper dive into how golf truly impacts, connects, and is celebrated by many. Tonight, we have a special guest on. He's probably one of those guys that should be on the payroll by this point. But before we hand him the mic, we're going to head down to warmer climates and check in with the AGM, my co-host, Mr. Derek Lane. What's happening in SoCal today?
Well, if he's on the payroll, I'm not sure what we're offering. I don't know, maybe like a free head cover, some Caldera skin product. Like, I'm not sure we have much left, because if we've got a payroll, I'm sure not on it.
Tees and hats, my friend. Tees and hats.
But I'll tell you what, the Sultan of Schmedium looks good. I mean, he is yoked. I mean, holy shit. That dude has been working some time in the gym tonight. But excited to talk a little Ryder Cup. Always excited. Now that we're not TaylorMade sponsored, I'd love to talk to Mies about Callaway, and I know our boy's going to get that. So I don't have to get yelled at by you that I'm not helping out our numbers or our monetary benefits. But you know what? I only want to talk about the best, so to do that anyway. But anyway, you know me. It's always just, I love it when he's on, and he's finally found one room in the house where the internet works. So Toronto's not having a good night tonight, but I'll tell you what, we're going to make it better.
Yes. Without further ado, I'm trying to keep a straight face here. Hailing from the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, our good friend, Mr. Johnny Wonder, welcome back to the program.
Well, boys, it's nice to connect. I think this is probably like episode 4 or 5 for me on this on this hallowed podcast. So it's always an honor and always a pleasure to catch up with you boys.
Truly appreciate the candor, and if you're lying, we'll take it anyway. So thanks for making time.
We are not proud in any way.
I still say yes. So when I start not returning the calls, then it's probably time to hang it up. But I still say yes. I get excited.
Yeah, once the number's blocked, we know for sure that's definitely no. Well, we're post Ryder Cup here, and there was tons and tons of drama. And tons and tons of letdown, and tons of, I don't even know where you want to go with this, but Johnny, let's get into some Ryder Cup post. Let's talk about the overall presentation of the product. What was your vibe like? What was your feeling? What was your takeaway?
The Ryder Cup always delivers as a product, and I'll say this quickly, it always delivers, right? And this is the first Ryder Cup where I didn't really have a team I was rooting for, because I was kind of rooting for individuals. Now, I had a hunch, and I'm not making this up. I've been saying it for about a month. I had a feeling Europe was going to slaughter us. I don't think people truly realized how good that team was, and it actually couldn't have been better. I think if they would have taken Rasmus Højgaard as well and had both twins on the team, I think, you know, it could have been interesting as well. But like, that team was stacked. I mean, with Åberg, Tommy Fleetwood's just absolutely, so is his caddy. They're wired for the Ryder Cup. Tyrrell Hatton's wired for the Ryder Cup. Rory's Rory. Vic Hovland, you know, there's this thing, they just go on and on. And I'm not even talking about the Apex Predator. I'm leaving him out because, I mean, like Rom, he's just, you put him in a setting like that, he turns into a complete gladiator. And this, the biggest, and I've noticed this on tour, and it's something that I haven't really seen in the press, but like American golf is, although we have a bunch of young, talented players, you know, from 25 to 32, a ton of them, just ridiculously talented players. We don't have that alpha male anymore. You know, the only person on that team was probably, an argument could be made for Brooks, but we don't have that seasoned, gritty, played in 6 or 7 Ryder Cups, 35 plus guy anymore that's leading the charge. And that was a team, and I say this with due respect because these are world-class players, but it was a team full of Pippins with no Jordan. There wasn't that guy. And that goes a long way. And if you look at the Europe team, you know, Rory's played in like what, since 2010? So 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. This is his seventh Ryder Cup that he's played in. That's a shitload of Ryder Cups. I mean, that's a lot of experience. That's a seasoned veteran. Rose has played in a ton. I mean, they had a bunch of guys there with a ton of Ryder Cup experience. And the last thing I'll say, and I'll open it up to the floor, is European culture, as especially sports culture, sort of works in like a harmonious circle. Even if those guys don't play a lot in Europe, the culture there is it's a very tight brotherhood. And it's not the kind of brotherhood that you're the Americans are talking about, like, yeah, we got along really good. They're obligated to get along. So they found a way to get along, because they're all, in my opinion, every single one of those kids are all little corporations. It's like if AT&T and IBM and Apple, if they all got together, like, hey, cool, we found some common ground here. We could have some fun. This is cool. Where in Europe, it's they ride or die together. You know, it's a different deal. And I don't care how much they try to sell that we all get along and we all do this. It's not the same thing. It's just not the same thing.
There's a video that comes to mind on the internet, and this will maybe help explain to some of our listeners the separation between the two entities, where Microsoft, I think Bill Gates or the guys from Apple, are all on stage and they're dancing. They're all independent and they're super awkward and it just looks like a car accident. It's horrific. But I mean, these guys are all superpowers in their own right, and they're all this, you know, eclectic mix of technology and brain power. It's very awkward. And then you go over to the European side where it's like this tight club in Ibiza and everybody's got their shirt off and they're all arm in arm dancing together. It's just, it's maybe that's a bad analogy, but it's so weird to see, like you say, all these little separate corporations and they're doing the pounds and they're, yeah, this is fun, guys. But Europe is so passionate and that's so embedded in the culture and who they are. And they're never going to forget where they came from. Whereas I think there's a sense of entitlement to all the European players, or sorry, the American players. And that's what maybe sort of disconnects that whole sort of energy and team vibe.
Well, it's hard to call it a sense of entitlement because I've heard it many, many times. It's just the way the American golf machine produces these things. And the OEMs are as guilty, we're guilty of harboring that, and the clothing companies and the corporations. You know, it's expected when you get out of college, if you're a superstar, is to start checking off boxes. You have a team, and you have your paychecks, and you have your deals, and you have this, and you basically insulate yourself. And it's something that can't be quantified. You can't point to it and go, that's what it is. And not that it doesn't happen on the European tour, but there's just something about in America where if you're guarding your territory. You know, there's no reckless abandon. You're just guarding your territory. There's like a certain amount of freedom that you kind of lose I don't know what the fucking word is, but you're kind of penalizing yourself or putting yourself in handcuffs because you're so scared to lose your position. Where in Europe, people are like, I'm so grateful to be here. I'll lay it all on the line. I don't care. And I think that these kids I don't think they've truly understood what that means, or maybe they just haven't shown it yet. But the last thing I'll say is I think it's time for Stricker and Furyk and Freddie Couples and these guys. They need to go away.
Yeah, you hit it on the head. And I think the best word you used was insulated, right? I think to play on the PGA Tour, and the better you are, the further you are removed from the crowd and the distractions and all of the things that happen, the better you play, right? And I think that it's much like an EPL game, right? Like if you're in the, they live for that shit, right? Like the All Blacks hung 96 on Italy on that Saturday and nobody gave a shit because the Ryder Cup was happening, right? And I mean, you're talking about the World Cup and one of the greatest teams, one of the greatest scoring performances I've ever seen in rugby in my life. And nobody was talking about it because these guys captivate their own countries, right? They're not playing for a country, they're playing for a continent. And it's so different because I think you said it perfectly. The further removed you are from the media tent on the PGA Tour, the better you feel, right? Unless you're giving a post, you're just saying, hey, kind of played well today. You kind of do the Tiger, you know, could have got a couple more out of it. Feel like I squeezed everything out of that 65. Going to go home, spend some time with the family, and then I'm going to come back tomorrow and try and play better. And, you know, and I thought that, you know, Joe LaCava and Brooks and some of these guys, I just, you're trying to emulate what others are doing and it looked foolish, right? And I've always said, like, the difference to me, like, the USGA is a t-shirt under a polo. That's how I've always felt, right? Like, it makes sense to me. And when I watched this, it was diabolical from the word go. And we talked about this earlier. When you're talking about Netflix and they weren't allowed, and in the way the world works, this shit was going on long before the Ryder Cup, whatever it is. And whenever it comes out, we'll talk about it and it will come out. But it's been going on for months, right? And again, he's very close to me, and his instructor is one of the really respected people in my part of the world. But to get married the Monday after the Ryder Cup makes no fucking sense to me whatsoever. I don't get it. Either if you won, you should be celebrating for 4 days. And if you lost, you shouldn't want to talk to anybody. And I'm just not so sure it's all the same anymore. And while I know a lot of the world is roared out, I just watched Jon Rahm on day one. And I just watched what it was like to completely own somebody. And anybody that didn't think that putt was going in for the second eagle, even if it backdropped and jumped 6 inches in the air, I don't care. These guys were in a way, I haven't really seen that intensity probably since Kiowa, in all honesty, excuse me. Like, I haven't seen somebody want something so badly. And when, like you said, when Terrell and these guys are interested and they're not playing for a stroke, they're playing for a team, man, this was just a whitewash from the beginning. And I guess where I'm really pissed off the most as an American is Justin Thomas is the one person to me that can be the equalizer in all of this. And he just continues to recede further and further away from where he is. And I mean, we were trusting Fowler and people that haven't been there for a while. And I'm all in on that. Every one of these guys, as you said, was world-class, but it was a varsity, junior varsity match from the beginning, from an intensity and a want and a desire. And I'm not saying it, but like Brooks, right? If John, if he skull crushes you, shut up. Just shut up.
Right.
Don't talk. Don't say anything. Take it. And it just seems like we don't take it very well. And I think that that just keeps adding more and more kerosene to the fire, because I would, just like Europe, I would want to do it harder and faster and more intense than I did the day before.
Oh, 100%. And you also have to take into consideration, like, when we're in American soil, we ball out depending on what event it is. Like, you know, we played well at Hazeltine. We played really well in Wisconsin. We played well at Valhalla, but, you know, it's even worse if this happens on American soil, but we tend to get our shit together on American soil. Not every single time, but it happens, right? That, to me, a lot of it is the product of a good captain and a decent team. And, you know, so it's not like we're not capable of getting in there. Something changes when we get to European soil. That's when we get exposed. And that's when the closeness of a team gets exposed, is when a U.S. team travels over. Last time it was in 93 at the Belfry. That was a very, very close team. There was a good mix of veterans or some young guys. But Watson captained the hell out of that team, right? And there was a level of fear with Tom Watson because he was the alpha male. They were scared of him. None of these guys are scared of Zach Johnson. And Americans respond, and if you go back to a bunch of different captains, Americans respond to captains that they kind of fear but kind of want to be like. That's why Freddie Couples always made such a great captain, although he needs to disappear from the spotlight for like forever now. I'm sick of like watching him out there. But that's just something that they need to pinpoint. And it's not a, is our system correct? Or, you know, is this or that? It's like, you got to dispel all the, do these guys get along and what's this? Like, no, you pick the 12 best killers that you can find. I don't care if they're on live. I don't care if they're college kids. You find, give me 12 killers and give me a captain that can corral them all together. And the captain's going to go in there and say, do you know what, guys, we're going to Spain. We're going to show up 3 weeks in advance. You tell your families you're not coming. We're not losing this thing. You can complain and hoo and ha or whatever. We're showing up 3 weeks early. We're going to play in the event maybe a couple weeks before in Europe, whatever the fuck the tournament is. And we're going ham. We're not losing this thing. And if you don't like it, beat it.
And it's hilarious you say that, because one of the assistants at the club had a great line. He goes, we looked like a 3-shot par 5 team. And I was like, I thought that was the perfect way to explain what it is we did, because it just, it was, and I think I'm dead with you. I'm right with you. It's like, when the biggest story was Stuart Sink's legs and shorts, I mean, honestly, like, it just got to the point where it's like, how deep in the doldrums? I mean, how boring could it get? And it's not a shot at Zach. You know what? Kid came from Iowa and played at Drake, and he's beat the odds every time, but that's not the spotlight where you're looking for. And I think what you said about the Pippins and the Jordans, right? Like, where's our Phil Jackson that doesn't give a shit about anything, that can make 12 guys come to a room and make it happen? And I'm not sure who that is in the future. I don't think that's Tiger, but I'm really anxious to see where we go.
I see the thing with, you know, we'll leave it at this. When you involve the Tigers, which I'm a Tiger golfer fanboy of all time, right? Forever, but when it comes to the present Tiger right now is becoming, it's like, he's becoming like, I can't even, it's like something in the political arena. It's just like every single time he shows up, things just goes awry. It's almost like AOC. The moment she opens her mouth, like, everything costs $3 trillion. It's like, what are we doing?
Senator Woods.
But yeah, there is a, there's something that's happening where it's like I call it the factions. It's like the anti-Liv factions. It's like the couples and the Tigers and the JTs and all these, this group of guys, and they're all kind of chummy. And Couples is there because everybody kind of thinks he's cool and he's best friends with JT and all this stuff. That doesn't help the team win. It doesn't. Like, somebody, that's why I pitched Phil. I'm like, you know what? You could equate Phil with like Donald Trump. Somebody polarizing that's just going to light the place on fire. Love him or hate him, the guy's a street hustler. And you put him in a setting like that where he gets to go and recruit players and put a team together. Trust me, that team's going to compete. Those guys are going to compete for him because, you know, whether they hate him and they do it out of spite because they don't like him, he's going to figure out a way to win. And he's going to figure out a way to win over in Europe. So you almost need to go so far off the reservation with the next captain's pick. And it can't be a gift. Like, oh, it's just his time. No, you just need to go find somebody that's going to get the job done. Like, period, end of story. But I don't know if they'll do that. It has become quite political, I will say. And the reason I say that is because, you know, Bryson DeChambeau should have been on that team. Dustin Johnson should have gotten a hard look to be on that team. But they didn't because they're live players. So people don't think it's political. It is political, which sucks, but that's just how it is.
I like this, guys. This is great dialogue. I haven't even had to say a thing. I love it. I want to say, again, not to dig too deep back into this, but like, is it a situation where Zach didn't have that je ne sais quoi and didn't want to offend anybody or upset anybody, wanted to keep it on an even keel, so he just kind of paired the buddies together and let them overrun the captaincy, just like the inmates were running the asylum a little bit?
No, I don't think. I think these guys are all, they're all grown ups. Like, I think he prepared, and you got to remember, he's got counsel. He's got Steve Stricker, who just won a Ryder Cup. Like, they're not stupid enough to do something like that. I mean, I think some of the pairings, because you put, like, for example, like right out of the gate, would I would have put Burns and Scheffler out first tee box? No. But is that pairing make sense? Yeah, they're buddies. They play a lot of practice. They're very comfortable. So if you're going to put Sam out in his first Ryder Cup with somebody, put him out with his best friend. Like, it just didn't work out. They got their faces kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's no, I think they were prepared. I think they were prepared. Like, the plan was sound, like what they were trying to do on day one. Because you can kind of only plan for the first morning, because you don't know what's going to happen. You could be four down. You have to pivot somewhere, right? So the plan is all leading up to that first tee shot on Friday. Like, what's going to happen? Hopefully it goes well. It went disastrous. They lost. They got, you know, smashed. They were down zero. Yeah. So as much as I want to pick apart Zach Johnson, I just don't think from an energy standpoint, he was the right guy to send to Europe. Maybe you send him to an American Ryder Cup. He might've been great, but they have to take that into consideration. We're going into Europe, guys. We need to send a dog. Yeah. Like, whoever we send to Europe with these guys has got to be a dog. It can't be some passive, quiet, like the fact that he said that he was proud of how they played, the captain that is down four, I'd have been like, I don't know, but these guys need to get their shit together. I already said that in the press. We're like, I don't know what happened. these are the best golfers in the world, and we're down four. So like something's, there's a problem, and it's not mine. These guys need to figure it out. Like that would have been the press conference of like a dog captain. Right. Like, let's go, boys. Like, what are we doing here?
So Johnny, do you think Coulthard had any point when he said that it was, in his words, disgraceful, not necessarily my words, of course, but when we had 9 of the 12 take 5 weeks off in the American way of basically taking off and coming back fresh, do you think there's any merit in that thought process when it gets to be an emotional time like that? Or do you think that's just coincidental?
I don't know. It's just like the same thing we're doing. Like everybody can Monday morning quarterback this thing to death, you know, because theoretically they could have squeezed it out on Sunday and Zach Johnson would have been like the risen Jesus in the golf world. Yeah. So they're all in a no-win situation if you lose. You're going to get picked apart. That's why the Ryder Cup is fun. I think if at all possible, they should have found a way. Like their excuses, like, well, we went and did that practice trip. A practice trip's a practice trip. There's no pressure in the practice trip. Like, you need to get into tournament conditions. Like, one of the things all those guys did, like, was genius. Is Luke Donald had all those guys at the BMW. They paired up all the Ryder Cup live players together. They all made the cut. They all played pretty well. Like, that was cool, and it was a good way for Nico Hogarth to get in this with some of those guys to see what it was like. Ludvig Åberg was in the hunt, so he got to play with Rom a little bit. Like,
yeah, that was huge,
and it's. It's their vibes, man. It's energy. It's like you just and our guys were, you know, at home in Jupiter and wherever else they were hitting balls and doing what the little corporations do when they're getting ready for a big tournament. And I think getting in the mud a couple weeks earlier would have helped theoretically. But I think it all starts with finding. We're not going to be able to tell if we figured it out on this next Ryder Cup at Bethpage because it's going to be a barn burner. It's going to be in New York, and we could literally throw a team out there. They're going to compete, and because it's on U.S. soil in New York at Bethpage. I mean, we're not going to get our faces kicked in at Bethpage. It's the next one that will figure out if any of this shit's actually working.
This next segment of the show is brought to you by our new friends over at Swannies. Swannies is here with a fresh take. Performance-based materials are a given these days. But if you're looking for the stretchiest, most lightweight pieces that can deliver a look that says, I'm here for a good time, take a walk on the Swanee side. With fabric sourced from recycled plastics and design sourced from our very own weekend warriors, Swanee's looking out for both the planet and those that need a little style boost. Premium looks from top to bottom at swanees.co. And if you use 4jack25, you can receive an extra 25% off your purchase at checkout. Enjoy swannies.com.
Plus, you know what? Let's just be honest. Like, I there's also part of me thinks the monster in the making that is Victor Hovland is just real. I think that there's just certain people that are meant for what he does. And he reminds me so much of that early European group of Westwood and Stenson and those guys that just were always undervalued because of what they chose to do with their lives. But I think in today's world of private jets and this stuff, I just think Hovland is going to be somebody that really is going to set so many different things because he can play with anyone, right? Like he just could simply do whatever he wants. And I mean, Jesus Christ, and just going out and just curb stomping. I mean, like there is no stop there. And, you know, and like I said, then you throw the ultimate apex, as you said earlier with Rom, and these guys just keep reloading and reloading and they're getting hungrier and younger. And these guys go all over the world for food. I just think that's a huge, huge difference in this thing. I really believe that.
Yeah, they have the closest thing to the Kiowa team as far as the modeling goes right now. You know, if I'm going to call Hovland longer and, you know, Rom would be your combination of Ollie and Seve, and, you know, they have like all the archetypes kind of there and they're all young, right? And
yes.
And it's one thing I was kind of saying, I'm like, you know, Rasmus Højgaard wasn't even there. We have a kid on our staff that's from Illinois. I always screw up his name. I think it's a French kid, Dumont. He made it out from the Corn Ferry. He won his first tournament like right out of the gate on the Corn Ferry Tour, and he got his card like no problem. But he's another guy. He'll get out there. He's a stud. They have a bunch of young players coming up that are just all young. They're all in the program, and you know, it's just nonstop onslaught of these young players that are ready to go, that are all hungry. Not to say that our guys aren't, but it's a different kind of hunger. It's, you know, our guys get out on tour and see a little success and they get a bunch of money and all of a sudden they're, you know, on NetJets together and this and that, where these kids coming from Europe, man, like they're on the grind out there. I mean, DP World Tour is a tick shade of the KFT. It's not the second best tour anymore. It's the third. Fourth, actually. It's the fourth.
You're right. Yeah, number Liv. Four. And now all I want to do is just want Garcia to captain a Bethpage and make it all come full circle. That's all I want. There's no way you take Donald off the captaincy, but wouldn't it be fun after all of the fucking milking of the grip and everything else? Wouldn't it be fun just go full circle?
Yeah, but
just to see Garcia there.
But this is how stupid all this stuff is. They had a whole decade of very deserving Ryder Cup captains that'll never captain. Lee Westwood's never going to captain a Ryder Cup. Coulter will never captain a Ryder Cup. Stenson, Garcia. Like that's 10 years because they went and played for Saudi money. Like we're all playing for Saudi money. It's everywhere. So it's like, I don't know. I just, the some of the moral posturing that's happening right now, just in the world in general, it's almost laughable. But it's affecting the golf world because it's splintered it in half. So
that's all right. Parksy and I predicted it 2 years ago, and we said woke golf was going to be the ruination of the world, and it's all happening.
Yeah,
100%. Was there a miss here, guys, with the women's event? Could they have co-branded, co-promoted? Could they have shone some more attention on that and made a big spectacle in Europe? Or was it just a fail?
I think they could have. I think the Solheim Cup could have been a lot of fun if they would have been back to back. I think that could have been a cool thing to watch. But you know, it's just the.
I mean, in all honesty, yeah, and name recognition hurts there a little bit, right? Yeah, it just does, and that's just the true story. You don't want to say that, but you know, you got down to the final three or four on the American and the European team, and it just wasn't necessarily as captivating as the Ryder Cup just for the household name, but the golf was just as good, right? And you know, they got out to a 4-0 and it changed quickly, and you just never really know how that's going to go from that side of it. But I do think one of the big winners in this was that golf course.
The
first to admit I had no idea, you know, and I feel like I'm usually pretty cultured and knowledgeable in this stuff. That thing not only showed beautifully, it presented beautifully, and it was the perfect forum for what it is they did.
Like the last three holes, four holes, like could you find, you know, a better finish for a Ryder Cup? Like, I mean, give me a break.
It was really well done.
You know what's funny is it's almost like, it almost reminded me a little bit of the Belfry, like the back end of the Belfry. You know, I don't know how well you guys know that golf course, but like, you know, hole number 10 was like this drivable 280-yard par four. And, you know, the guys were either laying up or just hitting this big slice around the corner and trying to hit the green. And 18 was this long par four. And there's a lot of cool holes, but the finish of the Belfry as a kid, when I was watching it, like I was always very noticeable. Yes. Like wow, like this is a serious finish, man. Like if you can get it in the house on this golf course and beat somebody, like you golfed your ball. So yeah, I almost prefer it on courses like that than I do the big USGA ballparks, and I would almost rather see it on a course like Marco Simone than at like, you know, Wingfoot or something crazy.
Yes.
Yeah
I agree.
All right, we beat it to death. So let's shift gears here. Let's talk Callaway, Johnny. Let's revive the audience here. I'm falling asleep. It's good dialogue, though. I love to get some insights. I know, like you said, anybody can armchair quarterback this thing and pick it to pieces. But you have some exciting stuff to talk about. There's some new stuff dropping. Some stuff we maybe can't talk about, but lots of cool things in the works for Callaway.
We got the new irons that came out. I mean, they came out for. For us, I guess it's the Travelers right after the U.S. Open. So one was at June, Father's Day weekend. So they launched them out on tour. The Apex Pro, CB, MB, and Pro came out. And iron launches are always fun. So especially these irons because they're very tour-facing irons. They're not really for the masses. They are more for like your five handicap and lower, maybe 10 handicap and lower. Guy hits a good, just got a bad short game. But really beautiful. Really beautiful, you know, job that they did at R&D. Ryan Ritchie's the guy that headed up the new iron program. Usually it's a guy named Scott Manwaring, but they let the kid kind of get in there and run with a couple of these projects, and he did a fantastic job. And, you know, the cool thing about my job is I get to see it from step one to step two to step three. So I saw early prototypes like last summer, and some of the, you know, prototyping in the golf business are kind of like an idea. It's like a, you know, like this might work. So you kind of see them working things out as they go. And, you know, I saw, and it's kind of started with like the Matt McNeely iron from like 3 years ago. It was kind of where it started with the blades, and it kind of turned into what it is now.
Those are scary. Are.
There's not a lot of MD players anymore, but you got to have them. You got to have something. So they did a good job. I don't think we'll put a lot of players in the Apex MB. I just don't. The way that these guys hit the ball, I mean, a little forgiveness is always welcome. So I think we'll have a lot of players in the CBs. But they're beautiful irons. I mean, you know, I actually just got in the mail today, like my final, like the actual set that I'll play.
Saw it on Instagram today. Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, I have about four sets in my house, but they all kind of sent him a different spec and this, you know, try this, try this, try this. And I actually went and got fit. When I was in Carlsbad last time, and this is, I actually have a set that I actually got fit for. So they sent those. So, we also have, if you've been following WRX or my stuff at all, or just watching online, I mean, obviously John Rahm's got some fun stuff in the bag that we can't talk about yet. Really exciting stuff coming from Odyssey. I would say probably the most ambitious thing that we've probably tackled in the last 5 or 10 years from a technology standpoint. And as far as also quick tour adoption, where you get guys swapping it out the moment they, you know, hit a few putts with it. So, you know, Rahm's got it in the bag. Burns has got it in the bag. Xander's got his at home. He's pretty close to flopping it in there. I think there's a few other guys that put it in that just kind of did it under the radar, but there's already a bunch of them in play. I'm not going to tell you what they are, but it's pretty ambitious and it's a cool story. And, you know, in the next 2 or 3 months, people will find out what it is. But, you know, that's exciting. Then obviously January starts and it's launch season again. We got, you know, I got some fun stuff under my head covers downstairs and stuff I've had for about 2 or 3 months now that will come out in January, but the new stuff's pretty amazing. And after Paradigm, it's saying a lot. But yeah, it's a lot. I mean, this is that time of the year, you know, it's, everything's kind of new and exciting. So.
Well, off camera, Parks and I were talking and I got my pros in the CBs a little while ago too. And it's such a perfectly blended set, right? And all three of them do exactly what you want the club to do, right? Ball flights are different, piercing different, shaft options. It's really amazing how far we have come and how quickly, as you said, and obviously in November, there's going to be some fun stuff with the putter. And it's just amazing how far we've come and how quickly people can transition into new equipment. It blows my mind every year how much easier it is to go. It's like those good skiers that are parabolics, and you're like, well, how could I do this in the next edge, right? Like it gets so good so fast that it's almost frightening. And I just think, like, even, and you said this perfectly, one of the things I was noticing when we go back to the Ryder Cup is how many of the guys are using some sort of cavity back, some sort of forgiving. You know, it's just not all, as you said, in the MB vein, right? Like people now are just allowing technology to get them better and better. And I can't wait for the advancement of all this, because it's such a wonderful way to go about, from my end as the professional. Obviously you're far more tour facing, but it's like, it's so great even now, right? Like if you're a good 6 or 7 and you want something that doesn't necessarily look like everything else, the Apex Pros are an unbelievable.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, unbelievable. Mickelson's got a full bag of them. And like, he's far through pitching wedge in them. And he said, I like the shape. I like how they get through the turf. And yeah, he's got a full, I think he actually four through, I think he put an A wedge in the bag too. I think he was like, he's got like the total set. He likes how they get through the turf. And yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to irons like this, the big gains that we talk about, like distance and you're going to hit them a lot higher, that's not the story with these. It's all in the nuance, right? So better players, for the most part, aren't trying to hit their 8-iron any further than they hit. They want a little bit more consistency. And it's that, you know, getting 2 or 3% better with each launch. What they did this time was they created 3 irons that cohesively blend together. So there's not a set that's significantly stronger than the X. I mean, I think the Apex Pros are just a degree stronger than the CBs of club for club. The bounce profiles are similar. Not with MB. MB really doesn't have a lot of bounce on them at all, but you know, if you wanted to blend them all together, you could, and you don't have to jerry-rig them. You're not doing a lot of bending. You can literally just put them as they are together and create a really, really cool set. And I really kind of like the fact that there's not, the Apex Pros, for example, are not a distance iron. They're just slightly more forgiving than the CB. So you're looking to hit it a little higher and a little bit more help. That's why I kind of call them TCB Plus. It's kind of what is my nickname for them. They're just slightly more forgiving. So I'll tell you a cool story. Like, we were at Silverleaf filming some stuff with Rahm, like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. it's like 120 degrees out. So one of the videos I wanted to do, I'm like, hey, JR, we're going to do a video. And I got Apex MB, Apex CB, and an Apex Pro 4 arm built up to your spec. I want to do like a little experiment. He's like, all right. So he's hitting some balls or whatever. And I just, except I walked, you know, countless practice rounds with this guy. So I know there's one club in his bag that he wished would do something else. I know he wishes his four iron went a little higher, because every single time he hits, he's like, God, I just wish that would just get, I want like 10 feet. I just want, I wish I could just be John Rahm and hit it, this four iron 10 feet higher. And so I had Pro Tour build up a Apex Pro four iron for him in his spec. And I kind of had it there and doing the video, and I'm like, okay, I want one last thing. And I asked the question, like, if you could, for your four iron, if you could do one thing, what would it be? It's like, I'd like to be who I am, wake up the way I wake up, make the same swing, and I wish this would go like 10 or 15 feet higher. So you take out the Apex Pro four iron, start hitting it, and it literally was like, it went from, you know, just for an arbitrary number, 90 feet in the air to 105 feet in the air without doing anything. He looked up and he was like, okay, yeah. And it's been in the bag ever since. So not that I did that, but I just had a hunch that he was going to like it. But that is that Apex Pro doing what it was designed to do, giving John Rahm 10 feet, but not going any further, not having any hot spots, just him hitting the same shot he's always hit, just a little higher. And his thin shots were a little bit better. But that's, if people want to know like what all the R&D is for and what they're doing, it's literally for that. At a tour level, it's like the thin shots are pretty good and the guys are going to hit it a hair higher. And that's, there's a lot of work that goes into getting them to do that. So.
What about fairway wood stuff? I know you can't really talk about it, but I mean, Paradigm was such a launch and there was so much positive response and buy into the Paradigm system and the downrange dispersion. We've talked about it a million times, how good that driver is. And everybody thought, nah, it's not super hot. It's not super crazy. It's just so tight downrange. You just feel really confident when you have a tight par four or tight par five, you feel like you can hit fairway. It's not scary to be on the tee with it. So are we carrying on that theme with the woods, or is something we want to?
Yeah, I think, say too much. I mean, Callaway's, we're always been we're the speed company, so we're always going to have a fast face. And I say this a lot in the videos that I do, but you know, good club making these days and good fitting is about raising the floor, not the ceiling. Good shots are good shots. You hit it center punch, they're all going to kind of look the same with every driver from every OEM. You know, pings might go 5 yards shorter, but they'll go super straight, but the rest of them are all going to go the same distance, same ball speed, maybe within a mile an hour of each other. It's when you start hitting it thin, high toe, low heel, that's when you start to separate yourself. And that's where the ideas from R&D start to kick in. And what we've been able to do with this AI technology and how we're building this forged carbon crown, saving all that weight, and how we're placing weight in all of our own woods. I would say Paradigm is probably over forgiving for a lot of players at a tour level. It's sort of self-corrected. So the next one's going to fix that, right? It's going to make it a little less overcorrecting, but that's how good it was. That's how good the driver was. It was so good that your mishits, people had a hard time figuring out if they actually did mishit it, because in the air, it didn't look like they mishit it. And that's a good problem. At a tour level under the gun, if a guy's aiming down the left side and he's trying to hit a cut and it doesn't go left to left, it just goes straight and doesn't have enough spin to curve to the right, just enough to get into the fairway. Those are nitpicky problems, but they fixed it. Like the next time they're like, okay, we're going to address that. So the next iteration when the guy cuts it, we're going to make sure there's enough bulge and roll or whatever to kind of get the ball to kick enough spin out there so he can at least get the shape that he wants. But that's all the mad science part of it. But that's where we are in driver technology, is getting so specific to a shot shape and complementing a person's delivery, where it's not like you can't have your cake and eat it too, but we're getting pretty damn close to where you're hitting it all over the face and the ball still, like, you look up and it's still flying down there with some spin and getting out there with some ball speed. And what they're doing with drivers these days, especially at Callaway, is just fascinating.
And Parks, right now for me, the easiest is just put that Apex UW in somebody's hands as a member.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
It's an automatic sale, right? Yeah, like, it's one of the easiest sales I've ever had, and in all of my time here with this company. It's like I can give this to anybody, you know, and I'm more of a Link style, play it on the ground, tighter lies, and it doesn't matter. I mean, it does exactly what you want it to do at any time. So it's just as Johnny said, it's getting to the point where it's actually a little bit ridiculous, a little sublime when you're doing, because it you really are creating a whole different thought process on what you can and can't do. And I'm going to steal that line that they're raising the floor, not the ceiling, because that's exactly the way I would sell it.
That's everything now is raising the floor. Like, you know, anybody that's trying to make your good shots better, you can't. I mean, your good shots are your good shots. I mean, you might be able to get a little ball speed, but it's about making your miss hits just a little bit better, because that's what makes a difference in your score. And like, you know, to your point on the UW, that was a cool tour idea. It was Tim Reed's kind of idea of like, what if we had like a tweener club? And you know, that was kind of his idea. There was no intention of making it out in retail. It was supposed to be a tour only kind of prototype thing, and then the players loved it and they decided to sell it, and they sold out a bunch of them. Now it's like literally like plug and play. I mean, you could get a better player that doesn't like, even if they hate hybrids, they might not like five woods, but you put that against anything they have in their bag. The moment they hit it, especially if they get it out of the guts, you know, it's got a fairway shaft in there, so it doesn't feel all boardy like a hybrid shaft, and the ball's spinning but still getting out there a ton. Like, you know, you get a better player that hits that thing out of the nuts. They look at it, they haven't seen a flight like that. And I've been at several fitting sessions with like Phil and some of these other guys that hit it for the first time, and their eyes just like, what? What is this thing? So that's a very, very cool.
I'm slowly getting won over here by the Callaway team. It's 2-1 on the TaylorMade guy. Was a Titleist purist for a very long time, but eventually I'm gonna have to buy
it. TM's gonna have a big year next year. They're from what I hear, they're pretty excited about what they got coming out. And they had an off year this year. I think they'd be totally comfortable saying that their driver was a miss. And I think it was a, you know, I love the TaylorMade guys. I know Babs and you know, all the guys over there that are designing the clubs and
housing.
And but it's tough making great stuff every year. I mean, Callaway's on a kind of a heater right now, you know, with drivers. We had, you know, three or four in a row. But it's, you know, we're gonna have an off year. It's gonna happen. TaylorMade had their year this year. They're gonna come back, and it's a very, very competitive market right now. I'd say where Callaway is eating into market share right now is our golf ball program. We actually took TaylorMade's guy, Eric Loper. Now he's the head of golf ball at Callaway for the last 3 years. He's phenomenal. And what they're doing with golf balls, and we have some cool stuff coming out in 2024, the golf balls just get better and better and better and better and better and better. And I'd still to this day, I mean, and I'd probably say this if I was still at WRX, I'd put our Callaway golf ball, especially our new one that's coming out, I'd put that up against any ball out there. I'd do the taste test challenge with Titleist reps and TaylorMade reps and Strixon and Bridgestone. I'd literally sit there and go, okay, these are our balls. We're gonna beat your face in. So let's go. Like, let's do it. That's how confident I am in how good this ball is.
Well, yeah. That's a call.
They would never do that.
Amazing.
Though.
That's exciting.
They would never do that. I would. I'd be like, yeah, let's
go. Well, and that's the whole point, right? And I think the one reason that Parksy, I'm always this way is it's from top to bottom. And I think Johnny alluded to it earlier. I think Luke and the team here in about a month is just going to have one of these things that we just remember where we were. I just believe that. And it's going to be exciting when it gets to be talked about. And I just think there's a lot to it. And I think that's the greatest thing about being part of that family is that as we've talked about, from ball to putter to wedge with Roger to irons that are almost unbeatable as far as whatever you're looking for. And then you get into what they're doing with drivers and woods. It's like, you're kind of top to bottom. And I think when J-Dub said that we're on a heater, I think that that's a really fair statement, because you just certainly go through these times. You know, I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, you're not probably old enough, Parksy, but when I2s were everything, like, you couldn't, you know, it just was something, right? Like, you're always going to remember when you played an 845 or an I2,
oh, yeah.
You're going to talk about those times in your life.
DCI or
right?
Something. Yeah,
like DCI, know. Right? Like, yeah. We're in one of those times. And if you don't really kind of, you know, the great thing about aging is you start to enjoy those periods because you actually, there's a little self-realization that it's happening. And I do think the Callaway is in that spot right now. And I'm just blessed to be part of that. And I love when Johnny comes on because he's a little bit more elegant and a little bit more aggressive in what we're doing from the side, because he gets to talk about a few of the names and the people that we're always a little, you know, gun shy to talk about. But I just think we're in that point, right? And to do what you're doing following TCB, I mean, Jesus, that's that, that's not an easy concept.
No.
When you think about all the people in the world that have won hundreds of millions of dollars with that golf club.
Yeah, and it's they're out, pictures are out there. They have a TCB that they have. It's the same exact thing. It's just new badging and
sure.
You know, but none of those guys, the TCB loyalists will probably stay TCB loyalists, you know. But you know, back to what you're saying about, you know, companies being on a heater, and you know, the nice thing about the golf industry right now is it's such a passionate ecosystem, and there's so much money that goes into R&D. And I'm actually to the point where I want, and I was kind of like this, like my second year at Callaway, like I want everybody to have their best stuff because I just want to see where we actually sit. You know, like that's why I love it. Like when Pink comes out with like the G430 and it's a great driver, I'm like, good. Like, let me see how we stack up against that. Like, you know, Titleist, the TSR, you know, is a great driver. Like, okay, good. Like, let's see if we can stack up against that. And I like where in every single conversation you have, because better in the golf industry is such a weird word. There's, you know, like, I could get it. Well, it is
relative.
Because I could get dialed in. I could go to Kellen Watson or Garrett Palm, one of our tour fitters, right? They could dial. They could fit me to an inch of my life, just dialed in. And I could go to Scottsdale National with a PXV fitter that same day, and they give me a good fitter. That fitter is going to beat everything in my bag because that's just how it works, right? I mean, everything is just kind of good. It depends on the fitter, but the point I'm trying to make is where he was talking about top to bottom. I don't think there's a company that can match us from the ball to the wedge through the irons and at the same time have something. And I mean, top to bottom for every demographic of golfer. That's where we get everybody. Cause we got top to bottom for all the high handicappers. We got top to bottom for tour. We got top to bottom for college kids. We got top to bottom for 10 handicaps. And we got it for everybody. We're the only company I think that can actually say that with confidence. That's where I get fired up. It's like Chip kind of thought of everything. And people might say it's like product overload. The guy just likes selling a ton of golf clubs and likes offering something for everybody. And we do that. And it's all really, really good stuff. I mean, some of our Great Big Bertha stuff that we hit that kind of went under the radar, like that Great Big Bertha line is phenomenal. That stuff's awesome. But it just never gets talked about because it's not, you know, the tour guys hit it. But for your 15 handicapper, that's like the ultimate set of golf clubs.
Well, we do the same thing. It's like right now, I mean, I don't care. I mean, just perfect example, just take Verstappen, right? Like, who wants to see somebody win 10 races in a row, right? It just, you eventually get to that point where when there's not that thought process, right? And it's like, that's one of the things that I love the most, that these best players in the world are all doing it individually, you know? And you can take someone like Fitzpatrick, who's playing something from 2011, because it works for him. It is what it is, but it's not going to help that company, as you said, go in different variations of lines from top to bottom. And much like you, I really do appreciate Chip because he makes my job a hell of a lot easier because he's thought of so many different things with that company. I have an entire line of stars, which are going to play very great for my Asian clientele and some of my seniors. Like, I don't miss, right? I can give you anything and I can run 6 demo days. I can go off and I can sell every single product at every point because I can gear it towards somebody and I can include somebody. We all know, like, when you're in my position, you order clubs, you give them to your members, your better players, and you let them go out and go, yeah, that's great. Get me a set, right? Like, that's what I have stuff in my bag for. It's not for me. And I think that that's the beauty of it. And I think that's the fun in watching all of this kind of happen and transpires because you might have a guy with a set of AP1s in the bag and you might have a guy with, you know, with a set of Shricks on, and it doesn't matter because, as you said, they're all good clubs going in the same direction with really good emotion. And I think that's awesome. But I do think it's going to be a really fun couple of months for those of us associated with Callaway.
Oh, for sure. Because
there's just nothing to stop. There just isn't.
Well, the products, it's like the same time. Like I saw Paradigm last US Open, I guess, for the first time, like pretty close to the finished product. And, you know, I could tell, and Tim Reed was on the truck and he was kind of explaining to like what they were doing with the driver. And you could tell he had a little smirk on his face because they had saved so much weight and they were putting it out here. And then we got into the fall and the winter and we started to hit it and test it, and the testing was going really good. Like, we all knew that we had the banger. Like, we just knew that our story was the best. Our driver was the best. I think what Odyssey's bringing out is another paradigm moment. It's like, okay, here we go. Like, yep. we're gonna have the widget again. We're gonna have another 6 months of having the widget, which is great because, you know, it's just momentum in Odyssey. You know, obviously we sell a lot of putters, but, you know, to be honest, like, we needed a new idea. You know, White Hot OG was kind of carrying the brand, but we needed a new thing that was going to take us into the next 5 or 6 years. And I think what they have now is this new platform is going to take us into the next 5 or 6 years. I think it's not necessarily our two ball, but it's pretty damn close. So.
Yeah. Amazing. Good stuff. I hope it's not like the jailbreak 9.750.
The jailbird story is just such a wild, yes. Oh my God in heaven, what a wild story that is.
But what the funny part is, Brooksy, is that they were smart enough to get ahead of it. You're going to see that they did. And that's just another great part of it all.
Do you know how many orders? So like, because I do all Steph Curry stuff and his brother, and that's kind of one of my functions is, you know, dealing with certain entities. And when that came out and it was became like the request that I got, like Seth and Steph Curry wanted one like now. They're like, how do I and I literally just had a guy, I'm not going to tell you his name, but you know, one of the owners of he owns an NBA team, but he is going out to play in the Dunhill, and he's like, damn, I'm going out to Dunhill, how hard is it to get a jailbird? So he went, and our Euro guys, you know, built him a paradigm and got him a jailbird and the Ricky spec, and the guy just got all tuned up like in Dunhill. He's just like the happiest man. I'm like, dude, it's just a putter. There's no unicorn piss in that thing. There's nothing about it. It's just a putter.
It did some things for some people, though. And it really created a stir for whatever reason. It just exploded, right, on social media. And then everybody
I think a lot of it's just because when Ricky's putting well, he makes putting look very easy. He makes it look easy. Wyndham Clark.
Right. But wasn't Keegs the first one?
First, Ricky Roberts was the guy that – is it Ricky Roberts? Is that his name? Is that his caddy's name? Ricky Roberts, yeah. He's the one that actually got Fowler on it because he had one from a long time ago. The putter's like 12 years old. And
yeah, it's super old. People are digging in their garages for that thing.
I remember when that putter. You're at the American Express. I remember when Ricky came on the truck because I had just it was on a – I think it was like on a Monday or Tuesday. And we hadn't seen each other like all winter. And I know Ricky from a WRX day. So every single time we see each other, we'll talk and say hi or whatever. And I was walking back to the truck. And at the time we had a new putter rep, Cody Hale, who's running the Odyssey Tour program now. And I remember him and Ricky standing outside of our truck talking about, and I remember Ricky just going like, I want it like this. Can you make it like this? And Cody was kind of like, we don't really have these anymore, but okay, let's figure this out. So he, you know, next day one showed up, and then Ricky went off and started putting the teeth out of it. And I remember when Wyndham came on the truck at the Waste Management, said, I just played a practice round with Fowler on Monday. He makes every 15 footer he looks at. I want his exact putter. And I remember on Wednesday when Cody Hale came on the putter, and then Wyndham went off and had a career year. And then I literally, as the Travelers, they got 15 or 16 jailbirds. We had stock on the truck. And the crazy thing about it was like all of them went out the door and they all went to non-staffers. Oh yeah.
No way. Wild.
Yeah.
Wow. How many of those guys?
I have no idea. I think a lot of them just wanted them. And probably a few. Got them. I'm sure half of them went to their buddies, but Cody Hale was busy that. As busy. Do you guys want to hear actually a crazy story? You want to talk about like the good thing, for example, like we haven't really talked about that, but you want to hear a crazy number? Like how big YouTube Golf has gotten. So good has their good Chrome Soft X golf balls, right? They have their branded balls. And
yeah,
we launched those say 2 months ago, month and a half ago, whenever it was. And Callaway.com got a launch at say on a Tuesday, and good had the right to launch theirs on their site on Monday. They had a 24-hour head start. They sold 10,000 dozen golf balls in 90 minutes.
Wow.
That's insane. I heard that number. Wow. I was like, wow, golf. You don't think golf's in a good place right now. You're looking in the wrong direction.
And that's not, we're not talking about like elite players buying the ball, that's just like a cult following of,
that's
of like 16, social media
16 to 30 audience. Demographic, because those are the kids that watch those guys that have no interest in watching John Rahm and those guys. They want to see what it looks like when the guys their age that sort of resemble their buddies, what they're doing and how they're playing. And these guys, they're the instinct of golf, man. It's wild.
And they're good players,
they
too,
are.
Right?
Well,
I mean, you've spent time with them.
Luke Kwan's like, I don't want to call him world class, but Luke Kwan's a professional golfer. Ben Hayden's a good player. Yeah. Eric Clark can hit it. Bubby hits it really hard, but he doesn't know where it's going. Sharp's okay. Like, he's okay. He hits it. They all hit it hard. They're all 175 plus ball speed. Every single one of them, they all crunch it. But Garrett, I'd say Garrett and Luke, and then there's a Ben. Ben Cooper, I think his name is, another college golfer. There's three of those guys that are in that little group that could really, Bumble. Really hit it. Garrett Clark's impressive. He can move it, and he hits it really solid. But Luke Kwan's the class of the bunch. Like, he's, you know, he played on the, he can play.
He's a player.
He can really play. He hits it like a like a god. So, yeah.
I love it. All right, Perks. That's fun stuff. One question before we wrap it up, okay?
Yeah, no, this so one's running. We're serious. We're going to let him off.
That's it, but I have this, and I want to know the honest truth. I've got the Maple Leafs at plus 900. I got the Oilers at plus 1,000, or I got the Vegas Knights at plus 1,200. Which one are you going
I'll
with?
I'll take the Knights, baby.
It's finally the year that Draisaitl and the boys do it. So I just wanted a little Canadian puck talk before we end it.
It's not going to be the Maple Leafs, I can tell you that.
I love it. Yeah, fuck, 67 is a long time ago, and it's not going to happen anytime soon. Johnny, it's always a pleasure to have you on, man. Thanks so much for your candor and your insights and your peek behind the curtain. It's, I mean, I can't thank you enough. You always make time.
It is refreshing in what we do.
Appreciate everything.
No, I love coming on here.
For sure.
Just talking a bunch of bullshit for a couple hours, so it's nice. It's fun. Yeah,
that's great, man. Have fun with daddy duty for the next little while. And you say you're off to the U.S. probably November?
Yeah, I go back to work basically November 1st. And then I have a small little run over that period. And then, you know, then it's kind of just rest up until January. Because if January hits, the circus starts again. So I'm enjoying my time at home for sure.
Yeah, enjoy the time with the family. I was trying to get some shit talk out of Mac Boucher before he jumps on a plane today because you were hanging out with him recently. But
yeah, he went to Halifax.
That's all I can do.
You want to talk about random travel? Like, every single time I see him, I'm like, hey, where are you going? He'll be like, I've got to go to Vancouver. He's like, but I'm going to Halifax. And after Halifax, I'm going to like Kyrgyzstan. And then I'm going to like Pakistan. And then I'm going back to like Georgia. And like,
it's wild.
What is going
on
here? It's almost like he works for the CIA or something. It's really hard to pin him down.
He's a good dude, though.
All right, JW.
Thanks,
thank you. Fun, man.
Yes, sir.
Take care, Mel. Okay, talk to you soon.
Fan, we are super excited to announce for season 6, we have partnered with Italian golf shoe designers, Duca del Cosma, and we're giving away a free pair of shoes for every episode. That's right, every episode. One lucky listener that DMs us is going to receive a pair of shoes. Baldovino Matiazzo's passionate innovations bring a much-needed sophistication and authenticity to the traditional golf world. These are handcrafted in Europe, superior craftsmanship, combined with cutting-edge technology for the next generation of golfer wherever life takes them. On and off the course, get the best of both worlds. Stylish Italian golf shoes. These are amazing. Again, that's Duca del Cosma, Italian handcrafted golf shoes. DM us for your chance to win every new episode that drops. Good luck.